grant, Lord, that we who seek rest in this troubled world may find it daily in Jesus, for his name's sake. Amen. Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You look at that verse with me, Matthew 11:28, and you'll see that there are only two people in it, you and the Saviour, you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice you don't come to him through any other person. You don't come to him through a sermon or a minister or a priest. You don't come to him through a pope or a bishop or anybody else. You come to him direct. That is the first clear lesson of this thing. And the reason is that you and he have had, on your part, a quarrel. And therefore you have to put that right. It's not something anybody else can do for you. And every one of us knows that. That we have to put that matter right ourselves, with him. So there's only two people appear in this verse. And to whom do we go? Let's have a look at the one we're going to. He's called the Lord Jesus Christ. What I want to get over to you is this. There's no go-between. There's no one here saying God is on one side and you on the other and Jesus Christ is the mediator. Come unto me, said Jesus. He claimed the Godhead. So he claiming that you go to him direct as God, and there's no book that can get you there except the Bible. That's what he's claiming here. There isn't any Quran or any form of other scriptures that can get you there. Now, what does he promise you if you come? Well, he says, I will give you rest. Now, what does he mean by that? Because he told us to work, and that is not resting. He himself said that we are to rest in him, in his word, but we're not here for a rest on earth, not to lie on our beds. I remember once going to I can't tell you exactly what it was, but it was a Pentecostal group who'd been buying farms, and they bought three farms in a village. And I went with another lady missionary, Miss St. John, to find somebody there. And we walked round, and all these young men were lying on beds playing guitars, rows of them. And what they did was amassed all the money they got from the government and gave it all into a central fund, and they bought very cheaply and they all ate the same, and they amassed the money. They were doing good with it, actually, but I didn't agree with their method. But we don't have that sort of rest. We're not after rest of cessation of labour. This is not your rest, says the Bible, for it is polluted. So then, rule out cessation of labour, nor do we have rest from warfare. Because although God gave them rest from their enemies round about, it says of Israel, you and I have enemies all round us, barring our road to heaven, and we've got to cut our way through. We've got to fight. So this isn't a cessation of warfare. What I'm getting at is this is not physical rest he's talking about, because he sent his apostles and disciples out into a very difficult mission field where they had a lot of trouble. Then what is the promise? Well, the promise is to anybody who is laboring and heavy laden. It means doing exceptionally hard work, and it means that they are working with all their might. This is not a promise to the lazy to give them the sort of cessation of labour they'd like. You may wield a pickaxe all day and have this rest. The fact is that here is hard work. And if we work hard, this rest can be ours, all ye who labour and are heavy laden. And it means people who've got very big troubles as well. Now, what is the rest then he promises? Well, he promises this, that he'll make you fit to run life's race in competition with the whole field. Once you get rid of the weights you carry, then you can run. But if you don't get rid of those weights, you can't run. It's nothing to do with age. It's nothing to do with that sort of thing. What it is everyone are burdened with certain weights. And so he gives us a calmness and a quietness which enables us to run with the best. Again, this will make you fit to run life's race in calmness. What holds up evangelism more than anything else is the extreme troubledness and nervosity of Christians when they thrust things at people and dodge all over the place and show quite clearly they haven't any rest themselves and invite others to come to Jesus and rest. There's something in this which is a quiet, unbending calm, and that is what he's offering, a calm which no one can get you past. This calm doesn't depend on upbringing, it doesn't depend on anything like that, it depends solely on Jesus. It's a promise to you, and it's a promise you may claim. You see, in this busy life you're living, and you are living a busy life, every one of us, then you need very clearly the peace of God. That is our armour. We are armoured against all the battle of life with God's peace in our hearts. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And we have that peace. And if we have that peace, we can stand a great deal. I always think of the days of the Reformation. One woman was put in prison, along with several other women, for having denied the Mass. And in the prison, the lady warder used to say to them all every day, "You just think about it. How are you going to stand the fire? You'd be wise to say now and get out of the fire." And she said, this woman gave birth to a child in the prison cell and was in great pain and great, what is called, travail. And this woman warder said to her, "Look how badly you're standing this. And if you can't stand that, how are you going to stand the fire?" And the woman went back. She worked it out in her mind that she couldn't. If she couldn't manage that pain, then she'd never manage the pain of the fire. And she ceased from that moment to walk with the Lord Jesus and went back. Now, think about it. Your greatest strength, the Bible says this, your strength is to sit still. And if It says in another place, sit still, my daughter. And many times the Bible advises us to get an inward equilibrium. My mother crossed the Atlantic quite a number of times by steamboat. And the first time they did it, I think, was about 1904. And she said that the ships rocked from side to side and end to end, and there was huge waves. They were going over to Canada and the North Atlantic, and the waves were enormous and beating down on the ship, and everyone was sick, and everyone was being thrown around from side to side of the cabin. But she said on a later voyages, when she was a much older lady, she went over after the war, and she said it was very quiet. And she said something to a ship's officer, and he said, yes, we have the gyros in. And what they had was the great big tops, like the tops you see the children play with, a gyro top. And when they spin, they don't move easily from side to side, and in modern ships they place these tops in the middle, huge things, which keep the ship much steadier and more upright. And you think about it, because what is needed in your life is a much greater steadiness. There may be an outward veneer of steadiness, but this needs to go down to the very depth of the being, till there is just that steadiness of life. That is very, very important. Now, what sort of a rest is this? Well, the first thing it needs saying is it's a rest that only Christ can give. There's no one else who will give you this rest. Krishna, Muhammad, and all the rest of them cannot give you this rest. There is only one rest, and it's a real rest. If you'll take it, you may have rest. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that is a promise. Now, what sort of a rest is this? Well, for a start, and most of all, it's a rest from one's conscience. The conscience is persistent. I believe that a number of the suicides, not all we see in this land ever more frequent, are simply the voice of conscience that the person cannot damp down. When we're young, we sow our wild oats, and the rest of our life we live regretting it. So then the first thing is, if someone could give you peace, absolute peace in your conscience, so you were quite clear that you were pardoned, that you had sin dealt with in Jesus, and daily that was renewed to you. That is the great peace that the Lord Jesus offers. These barking dogs, God's guard dogs on us, which go on and on in our hearts, are silenced. God silences them in Christ. So that's the first rest from conscience. And that is a massive rest, and the thing that this land suffers from more than all. Now, another thing it offers you is peace of mind. You see, in ourselves, we're deeply troubled. We dare not look back. We cannot look ahead. All sorts of nameless fears and forebodings lurk in us. We don't know what will happen in the years ahead, what they hold, whether we can manage it, or whether it will be some terrible disaster. What is happening? What are we to do? Well, the answer is that we need somebody who knows the past and the future, whom we can trust. And the Lord Jesus is yesterday, today, and forever the same. So he knows everything. Now that is very important, because unless you can get rest of mind, you've not found rest at all. You see, there's so many things that trouble us. As you get older, troubles increase, because you have your own troubles added to those of a wife and a family, or a husband and family, and then you have their children, and then you get their children, and by the time you've got all those, you've got an awful lot of troubles, and they go on increasing. They don't get less. People think that they'll get less troubles when they get older, they get more. So it's worth thinking about that. But what God has offering in the Lord Jesus is perfect satisfaction and contentment. Complete satisfaction and absolute contentment. Now that is something that I cannot see anybody would refuse to have. Come unto me, and then, as I said, you'll never find it anywhere else. You'll certainly not find it in any other religion. Furthermore, this is immediate. Come to me, and I will give you rest. All you have to do is come. There's nothing impossible about this. You're not being taught to go through a pile of psychiatry or drugs or pills or any of the other things. The thing that you need most of all to rest is assurance. There's a hymn that goes, "Blessed assurance." Assurance is something very, very blessed. When you're rooted and grounded in love, when you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, then you have a rock-solid foundation. Jesus said that the man who built his house on the sand, when the storm came, the whole thing collapsed. But he who built his house on the rock stood, and you stand on the rock, and that rock that followed them, it says in the Bible, was Christ. That's where this is. Now, why should we come to Christ? Well, the main reason is this: Christ has a large heart. He hasn't got some narrow, nasty way of going about things, but he invites everyone. You see, what he invites is sinners, those who are downcast, those who are worried, those who are overburdened. Now, he doesn't invite them like psychiatrists do, to lie on a couch and try and tell them that their troubles really aren't as bad as they thought they were. He doesn't offer headache pills, but the only hope you have of ever finding peace is in Jesus. And this is, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's something very wonderful. You see, I can't help you, nor any other person can help you. But there is one who I point to who can. Jesus, the Son of God. He has the most loving heart, the broadest of all sympathies, because he loves his enemies. He loves the despised, the sin-sick, those who've been really bruised by life and hurt deep down. I was listening on the radio recently to a young man saying how from a child he'd had to look after his mother who had schizophrenia. Where the father was, I don't know, he didn't say anything. But that he'd lost his exams at school, and he tried to go to university and lost university because he couldn't keep up. You see, once you get into all the business of life, it's most worrying, and it contains some horrible surprises. But if we have this inner rest, we can cope with it all without being collapsed like that. Now, the Lord Jesus loves more widely than that. He loves those who try and get out of their troubles other ways, through drink, through drugs, through the fast life and enjoying themselves. All those people he loves. And if they would come to him, they would find what they've never found in the other ways of getting round troubles. Come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden. The reason they go out on the town on a Saturday night is a method of letting off steam, a method of making up for being at the grindstone all week. It's a let out, it's a cop out, it's a method of getting a sort of rest. But it's not a rest, because you wake up with a headache, or wake up with the money gone, or wake up with work again on a Monday morning and the whole thing's just a memory. The Lord Jesus Christ offers a permanent rest, and he hits here. Now, nor does he say to you, first of all, get things right, and then I'll accept you. He takes you exactly as you are. He doesn't ask you to change one iota. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Because you're in that condition, you can come to him. And if you're not in that condition, well, then this promise isn't for you. If you feel you can cope, all right, that's you, you cope. The Lord Jesus never did anything for those who felt they could do without him. But if you come to him and admit it, then you will be helped. You see, Christ doesn't call the righteous, nor the believing, nor those who've got themselves better first. We come exactly as we are, without any form of improvement, and all we do is come. Now, Christ stakes his whole reputation on healing you. If he can't heal you, then this is the ruin of him. He's promising something he can't fulfill. So, take it. Take him at his word. Those who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. There is a rest in Jesus, and the most troubling feature about Christians is they don't have rest. One Puritan wrote a book, and he called it the rare jewel of Christian contentment. And a man got in touch with me from Australia through an internet, and he was in a terrible condition. He had, I think, cerebral palsy. He could only communicate through tapping on keys, and he got somebody else to get on the phone with me, his father I think it was, and talk to him. And I recommended him that book. He was terribly hurt. He wanted to go into the ministry and they wouldn't accept him because of his condition. And he sent me back a message about, well, very shortly afterwards, 2 or 3 days, and he said, that is the most helpful book I've ever seen in all my life. He said, it's helped me enormously. Now, if you could find the rest that Jesus gives, then you would find a contentment of spirit which could cope with anything. Anything at all. One of the things that always struck me about Bishop Hooper in Gloucester was, I was in the museum there once with my wife, I think, and they have the remains of the stake on which he was burnt. It was burned right down to ground level, but what was below had remained. But the night before Hooper was burned, he was allowed to have a special meal and he was allowed to have friends in. And that night, they said he was as merry as a cricket, and that he was completely at peace. One of them offered to stay and sleep with him, and he said, "I don't need it. I shall sleep very well." And next morning he said he didn't look fresh and healthy, and he said, "I slept very well through the night." And you think about it. Could you do that? You see, that's by faith that's done, not by anything else. By faith in the Lord Jesus. And this verse is yours. Now what I want to show you then is Christ's power to do this. It's a blessed power. It's able to give peace and comfort to the laboring and heavy laden. Now, never think Christ promises more than he can give. Christ is well able to give you this. Therefore, put no condition on it. Don't try and narrow it down. Don't portray anything to say, "Oh yes, if or but or maybe." Just take the whole breadth of it. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You think about it. If everybody must find rest this way. You see, every so often the devil gets hold of me, and he really puts me through it, and I get worrying about the past and about what I've done and about how I've treated other people, and I get worrying about the future, and I get worrying about the present, and I find the only way is to go to the Lord Jesus and ask him to renew my faith and give me rest again. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's the power of Jesus' words that I'm interested in. With a word, he could look at a man who had a leg missing and restore the leg onto the man, and the leg wasn't there, it wasn't kept and sewn back on or anything. He said the maimed he could deal with, just like the sick and the lame and the blind and the deaf and the dumb. He could restore, and he can restore everything. That is the power that's needed. There's nothing he couldn't do to restore your life so you were just as a little child, like he did to Naaman the leper. He can do it to everyone. But it's our faith that we need to pray about, not to question the power of him to restore. And then he took our nature upon him. He bore our sicknesses. He carried our sorrows. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet he had perfect rest in it all. When he stood before the high priest that night, tied up and being hit across the face, he behaved as a man who had absolute rest. And that is the rest you want. A rest that can look your enemies in the face without any form of fear. A rest that can look at any situation without the least tremor of doubt. That's the rest we're after. Not a trembling rest that just about gets there. You can creep into heaven that way. It's a very lame method of getting there, and you won't enjoy the road at all. It'll be very rough. But if you'll go this way, the road to heaven will be much, much smoother for you. So then, our sins melt, our chains are loosed, and 2,000 years have made not the least difference to his power. He's able to do it. His power is measureless. Now, the last thing I want to mention with you is this. It's the simplicity. The words are so simple that you wouldn't have to be able to read or understand much English to understand them. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Isn't that simple? Isn't it complete? There's no word lacking, and there's no deep or difficult words in it. It's right there. So then, this is something you could say to somebody on their deathbed. Someone in intense pain. Someone who cannot manage a normal conversation. It's so simple, so easy to follow. And that makes it great. Because what is really easy is what we've really understood. And the Lord Jesus understood completely both us and what he promised us, and therefore there is a completeness about it. Now, what we have to do is place ourselves entirely in the Saviour. That means if we go on lying and cheating and swearing and behaving badly, we can't have this rest. We can only have it in him, and you can only abide in him, little children, said John, if you obey him. We have to abide in the Saviour. Therefore, if you lack this rest, put it down to this, that I am not abiding. Abide in me, said Jesus, and I in you, so shall he bring forth much fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so no more can ye, except ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Take this word home, and make it your own, and make sure all the way through that it's your word, and you're coming to him. Amen.